I'm Lindsay Claiborne.
And I'm Mumu Shu, and you are listening to Beyond the Microscope. Hi everyone, it's Mumu and Lindsay, back for another episode of Beyond the Microscope. Today's guest is Dr. Katie Ottolini. She is a neonatology fellow at Children's National Medical Center and also in the Air Force. Thanks, Katie, for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, let's start off with a basic question. What is it that you do?
So right now, I finished my general pediatrics training, and I just this year started training as a fellow in neonatology. So basically, it's a three-year program where you learn how to specifically care for neonates. So, you know, premature infants or other infants that have illnesses requiring intensive care unit level care.
And how did you, I guess, choose neonatology?
So it's interesting because I didn't ever, we didn't really get exposed to it in medical school. And so it was never really crossed my mind until I started pediatrics residency. In the military, we got a lot of training with infants and going to deliveries just in case you're in a more remote location, and kind of in the military as a pediatrician, you're expected to be able to do all levels of pediatric care. And so we had a lot of exposure to going to deliveries and to doing NICU rotations. And that's when I really got drawn to it, and I enjoy kind of all, there's many different aspects of it that I think make it the best specialty to be doing.
So I guess you mentioned, okay, let's go back a little bit. You mentioned that you had training in the military. So what led you to that?
So I guess the simplest answer is that my father is in the Air Force. So it was always something that I knew of as an option and was exposed to growing up. And then when I was in college and I went to Notre Dame, there was a strong ROTC community. So it was always something that was pretty prevalent. And then when I was applying to medical school, there was the opportunity for Air Force scholarships. And talking to several pediatric physicians who were in the military, everyone just had great things to say about their experience. No one regretted doing it. And there's a lot of unique experiences, again, that are provided to doctors in the military that you don't get on the civilian side. And so with all that and the scholarship for medical school is what in combination drew me to join the military, and I'm really glad that I did.
Is there a difference between what someone going to a non-military medical school is? I mean, obviously you learn the same things, but is there an added level of component? Like, do different things? You mentioned a little bit about being expected to know all ranges of pediatrics. So is there a special curriculum?
So my scholarship was, they provide you funding to go to any civilian medical school that you get into. So while I was in medical school, I didn't have any different training. There is a military medical school in Maryland where they actually have a lot of military training incorporated into the medical school, and they do specific simulation activities that are more geared towards the military environment. But I didn't really start a military experience completely until after I finished medical school. And then during residency, we had lectures and things that you always talk about if you're in an austere environment or more remote location in pediatrics, what you really need to know as a physician in the military. You need to know kind of how to manage it by yourself, at least until you can get to a larger tier facility. Whereas, so you as a resident in pediatrics, I would say the difference in the military, I guess one difference is that you feel like during training, you never know where you're going to be assigned at the end of residency. So you want to make sure that even if it's a topic you're not as necessarily interested in, that you have a strong foundation in everything so you can manage a patient by yourself, even if you were in the middle of nowhere in Guam or, you know, North Dakota. Whereas if you're in a civilian program, you still have to learn all aspects of pediatrics, but then you're a little bit more free to choose exactly if you want to just do one specialty. Again, you can do that in the military, but you could choose if in the military, I feel like it's more of an expectation that you don't know where you'll be going next. So you should be more
prepared to learn it all.
Exactly.
So after medical school, where did you go for your residency?
I went to Walter Reed in Bethesda, Maryland.
And that's the military hospital. So that was your immersion into military medical stuff, right?
I mean, exactly. But prior to that, my only military exposure is we go to officer training school before medical school, which is a 6-week program in Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. And then I didn't have much other military involvement. We do a couple of rotations at military hospitals and medical school, but then the start of my military experience was at once I started residency is when I started wearing the uniform every day and having, you know, military obligations and just being immersed in that environment.
Did you always know that you wanted to be a doctor?
I think deep down, I always knew that I was interested in science and I was attracted more to the biological sciences. When I was a biology major, an undergraduate rather than a pre-med major, just to leave myself open to doing bench research if that was the direction I wanted to go in rather than medicine. And both of my parents are physicians, so I think I always had a little bit of internal pushback that I didn't want to end up doing exactly what my parents did, but they were both pediatricians and now I'm a pediatrician, so I'm specializing in something different from them, but it's still I ended up doing what my parents did. So, but I think I was always drawn to the idea of being a doctor.
Can you walk us through a typical day if that actually exists? So what is it that you do? Like you go to work and then what happens?
So a typical day for me, in our rotations or in our work schedule, you'll be on service for certain months. And when you're on service in the NICU, we rotate at 2 different hospitals. So you'll come in the morning, you'll get information from the doctor who is the other fellow who is on overnight about what happened with the patients. And then you'll go review all their x-rays with the team. And then you'll do rounds in the morning. So that's we do something called family-centered rounds, which is really popular now, where you go to each patient's room, discuss the plan with the nurses and the other physicians, and then you have a team of residents who work with you as well as attending doctor who's above you. And then a lot of times the parents are by the bedside too, so then they get a chance to ask you questions. And then throughout the day, you get different admissions, and then after, so those are, you know, kind of interspersed through. It could happen, it can get pretty chaotic because it can happen at any time. A new patient can come in, and even if you're in the middle of rounds, sometimes you have to leave and go start managing things, or if problems start happening in the middle of rounds, then sometimes you have to break away and go triage those issues. And then throughout the afternoon, you kind of just manage, you know, what you talked about doing during rounds. And then if you're on call, then you stay overnight and you continue to admit patients who come in, and then you continue to, you know, manage different problems that come up. And then again, in the middle of the night, you do another set of rounds where you go around and see what's going on with every patient. And then, you know, a lot of different things can happen in the middle of the night that you have to end up taking care of.
Do you have a favorite part of that?
I think you mean as far as being a neonatologist?
I mean, you just sort of listed out, there's all different sorts of things you're working on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you do one thing or you're the guy that, or the woman that they go to do X. Mm-hmm. You're doing it all at any given point in time. Is there a particular part of it that's your favorite or you like the most?
So I'd say, so we actually have an interesting experience that we go to 2 different hospitals. One hospital, Children's, is a big referral center to a lot of other facilities where we get transfers for all infants that they're not as comfortable managing. So we get very high acuity and very interesting cases to manage. And then we also go to George Washington University, which is a delivery hospital. So we get to go to deliveries there and manage, critically ill infants, but at that hospital, we get the experience of going to deliveries. And I would say, I think overall, what drew me to neonatology originally was the delivery room experience. I really enjoy going to deliveries because I feel like even if you think it's just going to be a routine, healthy infant, you never know what's going to happen. And what to expect when the baby comes out. And then you have to act really quickly to appropriately manage them. And it's just so rewarding because when you do the right steps, a baby can come out and look very depressed and not very active or have a very concerning appearance. And then a couple minutes later, they can be crying and in their mother's arms. And it's just such a happy experience. And it's so emotional in the delivery room. So I think that's, I'm just starting out in neonatology fellowship, but I'd say I think that's my favorite part. And I think that my favorite part overall about what drew me into medicine and then what drew me into neonatology is just that you can see the direct effects of what you're doing, and you can see you can see day-to-day improvements on how you can help impact patients and help make direct changes that can have a positive impact for, their health and the rest of their life.
So no big deal, just baby's life in your hands, right? Minor things.
So I can never complain about having a bad day at my work. The students weren't behaving, my code isn't running.
You're saving babies. Katie, do you still have time to do research?
So actually, research is a very important part of most fellowship training. So the months that we're not on service, sometimes we have months where we do clinic and do some other roles, but a large portion of it is dedicated to research. So we really, in our program, it's very open-ended. Whatever type of research attracts you, you can either that you're drawn to, you could either do something if you want to do something more clinical or you want to do some sort of, translational or bench research. You can really, they really give us the freedom to do what we are more interested in and to pursue those projects. But we do have expectations and timelines of things to complete, but we get a lot of time in order to pursue research opportunities.
And so what kind of research have you pursued in the past or are currently pursuing?
So in the past, I've done different research I started in undergraduate. I worked in a laboratory where we worked with cotton rats, and we worked with this respiratory virus called respiratory syncytial virus. So that was really when I got exposure to more laboratory bench research, which I found really interesting, and it was a really good experience in doing things like southern blots and learning how to use PCR and things like that. And then I worked in another lab at Notre Dame for a little bit where I was doing kind of similar stuff. But then in medical school, in a residency, I did more clinical projects where I either kind of analyzed patients' charts. I haven't done any research yet where I, more prospective studies. I've done mostly retrospective reviews. And then I also in residency was involved in more quality improvement projects, which is a really big push, especially, I'm not sure about other specialties or fields, but in medicine, it's a really big push in order to improve different aspects of patient care. So I started one project where we, since you know, we're both an adult and pediatric hospital at Walter Reed, in order to try to minimize ordering head CTs on children who came in with head injuries. So we kind of, we implemented these different criteria to use in order to minimize radiation to those patients.
Do you miss doing research? I mean, I know you're, it seems like you've got your hands full with a lot of different things, but is there, does part of you sort of, since you, when you were an undergrad, didn't do the pre-med thing, you did the biology thing, there's obviously part of you that likes that.
I think, so I think that was a very important part of my learning experience to see what I was drawn to. So in undergrad, I did really enjoy that experience, at the time, but it also made me realize that it was one thing I was considering in order, more going the PhD route than a medical physician. But I think it actually made me realize that that wasn't my passion. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't as interested in doing bench research. And again, it kind of goes to what I enjoy about medicine is seeing the direct effects. I felt like, in bench research, you get different results from different studies, but it takes a longer time to finally translate into something that is used clinically and that's implemented. And so for me, it helped me realize that I was more drawn to the direct interaction with patients and, you know, making direct day-to-day changes that I could see. So I definitely still am very interested in research and in doing academic medicine. And so I will continue to do research, I think, throughout my career, but it will be more clinically based, I think, going forward rather than the type of research I did in the past.
So when you say clinically based, what does that mean exactly?
I guess what I'm trying to say there, as opposed to the research that I did an undergraduate when I was just working in the lab with rats and machines. The other side of that is either prospective or retrospective research projects involving patients. So either directly enrolling them in some sort of project that goes forward where you're looking at a different intervention in order to try to see the effects of that, or on the other hand, looking retrospectively in patients who have already come through and seeing what the effects of different interventions or different risk factors they have in order to see, kind of help see the effects of different things in more of like a clinical setting using patient information rather than...
Yeah, like real life setting, right?
Yes,
that
exactly.
You're dealing with humans and you're not dealing with lab rats or hypotheticals or theoreticals or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it's like when you talk about people in clinical trials where...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I get it now.
But you can also... So the, clinical trials and things like that, there's... that's one end of the spectrum, but then there's also different levels where you're looking at patients' charts to see trends in different things or how they ended up after different interventions that we do, because, so many of the things that we do, we're still trying to build evidence for or against different things that we do. And it's, a lot of times it's really hard to know what the exact right answer is to do because there's so many different ways to go about approach different things. So
I'm curious about what you did with the rats.
So it's interesting because I actually had a friend that I worked with who was telling me that she used to, this might be a little bit graphic, but they used to like decapitate the rats that they used to work with.
Oh.
But I didn't do anything like that extreme. So as far as working with the rats, so it was actually very interesting because I would help the PI with the different experience she was doing, and she was mostly looking at the rats' lungs. And so sometimes you would either put them just to like sedate them to get different samples from them, or you would sacrifice them to get samples from them, like their lungs. And so it was actually an interesting experience because you would have to catch them from the cages and then put them in this little sedating chamber and then take them out. And sometimes it could get very interesting, like if the rats would jump out of the cage at you and jump onto the floor, and then you have to close the door so that they wouldn't run out and then try to catch them. So I remember one time when I tried to go in really early to get my work done ahead of time, and one of the rats would like went onto the floor, and then I was trying to catch it before anyone else came in. So it was kind of...
I like picture you in this like dark outside with the lights half on, and you're like running around like chasing after this rat. That's like, I know what you're gonna do to me. I am not having this.
And I was like, I think I was like 18 or 19 years old at the time, so. But it was a fun, and they really taught us a lot there and gave us a lot of responsibility, obviously, as you can hear from letting me deal with the rats, but it was a good experience.
Technology is changing so fast when it comes to medicine, when it comes to tracking biometrics and all these things. Do you see things coming on the horizon that are going to make your job different or easier or more exciting? Do you think about that, or are you too worried about what you can do now?
Well, I mean, one thing that's really exciting about neonatology is that it's a very rapidly evolving specialty, and there's still things that there's so many different ways, as I said, so many different ways to do different things. And so that's one thing that I like about it, and where I think research is especially important in this field, although I think I'm a little bit biased since it's what I enjoy, but there's just talking to other, from what we learn and talking to other people, there's been just so many changes as far as different treatments that we do for neonates and the resuscitation capabilities that we can, now they're resuscitating infants at younger and younger ages that we never would have thought about. They never would have thought about doing 20, 30 years ago, just with the different supportive measures and interventions we have now. So I think it's really exciting that there's always different changes and interventions that are leading to better outcomes for neonates that are born, especially premature, but also with different complications at birth, that it's really promising. It makes me really optimistic for their future, that we're able to there's so many, it's such a quickly evolving specialty that able to make changes to have better outcomes for these infants that previously wouldn't have even survived delivery. So
what's been the biggest change or adjustment from working at a military hospital to a civilian one?
I'd say there is, the biggest change is just the overall environment. There's similarities to every hospital environment, but I would say, you know, working in a military hospital, you're wearing your uniform, or if you're not wearing a uniform, you're wearing a specifically regulated scrubs that are, you have a certain presentation, and everyone says sir or ma'am, and there's a certain hierarchy that is present at every level of medicine, but I feel like in the military, it's just a little bit more, it feels a little bit more formal at work. And also working in a military at Walter Reed, it was a pediatric ward and a NICU within an adult hospital. So it was a lot smaller. So it was a lot easier to get to know everyone at first. Whereas working in the civilian hospital I work in now, it's a huge NICU unit, and the NICU department is very small and getting easy to know, and everyone has been very great and very supportive, but it's also a much bigger unit to get to know and get to know everyone and learn my role and learn kind of, just get to know the workings of everything there.
Did the president ever stop by when you were?
No, I never got to meet the president. The president does visit Walter Reed frequently. So there would be times where he would be visiting, and then obviously there'd be a lot more high security and more restricted areas of travel. But he didn't ever stop by the place that I was working when I was there. There would be different people who would come by to visit the children. And we also had service dogs, which were really nice. They were therapy dogs. So they would come to the pediatric floor and play with the children. So that was really nice.
Adorable children and puppies.
You've just won Mumu over for that.
And Prince Harry came once, and some of the other pediatric physicians got to see him, but I didn't.
Whoa, Prince Harry. Okay.
We need to work on your timing.
I know.
Yeah,
at work.
Talk about bearing the lead. Prince Harry was there.
What?
Back up a second. Yeah. Well, that's all the questions that I have. I think I speak for Lindsay as well when we say thank you so much for being a guest, a willing victim for us.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Like our show? Find out more at scopepodcast.com and follow us online on Facebook and Twitter at Scope Podcast. This is Lindsay Claiborne
and Mumu Shu.
Our theme music was composed by The Copycuts. Thanks for listening.